113 episodes, four seasons, and this is as excited for a show that I've ever been. I'm looking down the rundown. Now, I won't often say this normally because we are a podcast. Most of our listens come through the podcast app, but I'm going to say this today. If you are listening in the podcast and you've got some time, you're not driving, you're in the car, you might be on the train, you might be at the office, you might be lying in bed, go to YouTube and watch this one because we've got clips galore. We have got stitch-ups galore. It is going to be a big, big show, and it is worthy.
In fact, we sure do.
If you blokes weren't getting bent over by your respective networks, this would be on television, and I dare say close to prime time.
So, you sent through the email last night, Nate. Yep. You got it as well, and you did say the biggest show of the year. So, me and Nate even rocked up early today. Yep. I was shocked. I was down there.
I was there early,
Nate rocked up early. You stroll in 10 minutes late for the biggest show of the year.
Well, because I've been used to lockdown traffic. I drive from Camberwell. And the Monash was a car park.
Normally, what you did mention though, was there's plenty of stitch ups on this show, and we've got one coming your way because when you carry on like the pork chop that you do, there's a lot of people out there that take note, and there's a lot of people that like to dob you in for things. And I received an anonymous email last week.
Here we go.
What was the gist of it?
Feel free to use this on the podcast because Hummer. And I've known him for a long time, speaks more rhubarb than any person I've ever met. He is a compulsive liar. Most of the things he says aren't true, which fits in with a compulsive liar.
Like the shot of scotch every
morning.
The fact that
he's Scottish as well.
Yes.
So...
Call it a Scottish.
Hummer once abused a selfless volunteer down at the football club, the most selfless volunteer ever, because he noted down incorrectly that Hummer had kicked one goal when he'd actually kicked two. Now, Hummer didn't do this to the selfless volunteer's face, but took to online abuse.
Oh, he trolled him.
Trolled him and had a go at him behind his back so everybody else could see, to the point where the footy club had to step in. Our man here was dragged in to a small shower cubicle by the coach and given the biggest dressing down I think he's ever been given since he tried to have a go at Gary Lyon on this program by our sports bet bosses. So, Hummer, did you go online to one of the most selfless volunteers at a football club and give it to him and embarrass him and his family?
Technically, yes. But, however, but this was in a time before.
You can't do that.
This was before trolling. This was back in the day. I know what they're talking about. This is when I played at the Monash Griffins, 2012.
This is true.
It's partly true.
So this is a selfless volunteer.
No, no.
And everybody out there who plays at a football club understands the selfless volunteer we'd be talking about. Every club has one.
Like Teddy Soderblom at Richmond.
So, if
I can give you some context, because that is painting me in a very bad light. That is not how it happened. This was back in the day on Facebook when you would you'd talk through comments. Like comments were a big thing on Facebook back then.
Why didn't you tell him to his face then?
No, because I wasn't. It was a joke. It was a lighthearted joke. I said that I would have been laying the goal kicking. If his name was Shelley, if Shelley had got the goal kicker's right. That's all I said. He then saw that and exploded, sent this giant tirade.
Well, he probably felt a little bit hurt all the time.
Have to apologise to him?
I did have to apologise. And the worst part was I was playing twos at the day and I was going all right. The seniors coach dragged me in at half time and I thought he was going to say, hey, mate, someone's pulled out of the ones you're playing well. Come in and play in the seniors. I got dragged into the change rooms at halftime, so in the cubicle area, and got absolutely the biggest serve that I've ever copped.
Well, there you deserved it. Now, Brownie, would you say Hummer's the sort of bloke that likes to pump himself up and really build things up?
And make things up,
Right? So this, did you play for Inverloch, Hum?
Yep.
You did?
So
Brownie, this was a big Easter Sunday clash, right, down at Inverloch, right?
You get 5,000 there.
Yeah, big day down at Inverloch. Easter Sunday. Now, Hummer is playing in the twos, right, on Easter Sunday.
It's a big game.
Now, Hummer was given the heads up by the coach earlier in the week that he was going to be playing midfield this particular day. It was a new role for him. So Hummer thought, this is my chance. I'm going to get 30 disposals today. So he's invited down all his Scotch college mates, you know, all the, what do they wear, Brownie? The polos?
Yes.
And the RM Williams and all
that. Yes, they do, Matthew.
So they've all jumped in, about 15 of them, made the drive down to Inverloch. 90-minute drive down to watch Hummer. Hummer's going to have 30 possessions, right? And he's told them all week, he's going, I'm going to have my first 30-possession game. This is why you shouldn't pump yourself up, Nathan. The footy gods, they come back to get you, the footy gods. Hummer goes out there, first 2 minutes of the game, broken nose, straight off the ground. Is that true?
That is true. It was very first contest. I was courageously ran back with the flight.
And of course you were.
A big farmer off the half-back line. Just absolutely lined me up.
That's the footy gods, mate. You don't pump yourself up.
That was heartbreak. I honestly did have I had friends, family come because it's the big Easter game. They had 5,000 people there. I was so excited.
Watch
had
it.
People drive from all across the state to watch me.
Were they there to watch?
They were still lining up getting their potato cakes, and then I was off coming because I wasn't get there just a broken nose. I was heavily concussed.
They,
I would have played with
did they get there for the twos though, or were they coming for the ones?
No, they were coming to watch me in the twos.
Now, was there a day, right?
Can't be more.
Where there was a guy on your team, and to be fair, we've been told that he wasn't a great kick, this guy. He was low on confidence.
Yep.
And you were playing in the forward end, and he butchered a couple of kicks, but you took it upon yourself to come from full forward. This is after a goal had been kicked, so the whole game has stopped.
Yep.
So from full forward, charged up the middle of the ground, called out to this guy who was playing in his team, by the way, teammates in the defensive end. So he's had to go from the goal square to about the 50-metre line at the other end. How far do you reckon that is? 110, 120?
110 metres. Yeah.
And you've screamed at this guy, that'll do you, mate. Turn in your jumper and just get off.
Just all we want is a yes or no. Did
that you
happen?
Do it?
Yep.
There you go. That's,
what a bad human
being. What is wrong with this man?
I get white line fever. No, that one is true to the word.
I sort of half understand that one, Hum. But you just want to get hit on the chest, don't you?
Who sent them in?
There's more to come.
You don't give up.
So someone that played with me at Inverloch, I can only be one person. He works here, Slug, because I played with him at Inverloch. Or he played near Inverloch and at Monash.
Wasn't Slug.
We've got more to come, too.
Hey, all right, well, let's dive into the show proper after that wonderful stitch-up. And, of course, it is Olympic time. And I will put my hand up. Leading up to these Olympics, I wasn't that confident. I wasn't that confident it was going to go ahead. I wasn't in that Olympic spirit because normally I'm just
because of the COVID, you get right into it.
But I can say, especially with 7+, what we have access to, now I'm not Channel 7's biggest fan, but what we have access to...
Your employer.
They're doing a magnificent job.
What we have access to this year with 7+ is just
you can watch everything.
It is good.
You can watch anything. And that's what the Olympics is about because the swimming is yes, but you see the swimming all the time. The athletics is okay.
Give us your top three underrated events then.
Right into water polo. I reckon it's a magnificent game. It is hard work. Have you used the size of these bikes? I thought they were just swimmers.
There's a lot that goes on under the water.
They're just whacking the absolute hell out of each other. So I'm right into the water polo. I'm right into the handball.
Yeah.
As well.
That's my event, the handball.
And I've been enjoying the boxing as well because you're getting these boxes that they're not great boxes up against it, and so you're getting some
a fair few of parameters too, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they can be professional. I think that's...
That used to be the rule, but with the NBA...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the NBA players.
And,
I think it's changed now.
What about the arms on the guys that do the pommel horse or the Roman
rings? Oh, mate, the Roman rings, you've got to be the strongest human in the world to do that.
Well, have you ever tried... Like, there's some at the gym I
can't do a chin-up.
I can't even get up.
It's a sport to get into, isn't it?
Gymnastics.
Or you've tried all the ball sports and then you go, okay, I'm going to have a go at the pommel horse.
Most of the gymnasts are 5 foot tall, though. It's for smaller people.
Hey,
God be no good.
Now, of course, it was announced earlier in the week.
You're uncoordinated most things outside football.
Kicked 800 goals, so it's not bad.
I'd love to see you on the Roman rings.
Oh, it'd be horrible. I wouldn't be able to. What about when they go out and just hold themselves like that?
Now, it was announced earlier in the week that Brisbane are going to host the 32 Olympics. Yep. They essentially ran unopposed, but it's fantastic. It'll be good. In 12 years' time, we'll be able to get there and watch these events live.
You know what event we've got to bring in? We've got to bring netball in. Guaranteed gold.
How the hell are this 3-on-3 basketball crap is in and netball's not?
They're trying to find a new market, aren't they? I mean, how many people play badminton anymore or table tennis?
Oh, badminton's actually a good watch. That is a sport that I watch and go, I would be horrible at that. But it did remind me of the announcement because we had the famous announcement when Sydney was announced. Mm. And I just thought that perhaps we should play that again.
This will be funny.
The winner is
Sidley.
Very good, Hummers. Sidley. Hummers done a few funny things last
year. That was I assume Nath John.
That, remember how big that moment was?
Yep.
The Sydney announcement?
Well, because unlike the Brisbane, we weren't running out of posts, up against some of the big ones. So, again, for those that are listening, it was a clip of Brownie stuffing out. We'll make sure we get it up socials.
Siddeley.
Yeah. It's got to be tongue-tied again.
All right, let's just touch in. I know we don't touch much footy these days in this show. We've become a full-time entertainment show. But let's have a quick look at the footy because it's getting very, very spicy. The Blues. They were looking. There was a period of a couple of weeks when perhaps it was not all doom and gloom, but that period is gone. They are cactus. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was a big one on the weekend, I thought, because they're playing North. Now, North Melbourne aren't playing like an 18th team at the moment. I'll give them that. But it was the way they lost, Brownie. Just every time they turned it over, the way North Melbourne were able to just transition the ball, they were just walking in goals down the other end. And you'd go, okay, it wasn't a one-off. It's sort of been happening that way for probably 18 months. Now, that's what worries me, that they haven't been able to fix up that problem that they've had defending turnovers. And that's a big worry for me. If you haven't been able to fix it up, what's going
on? Unfortunately for David Teague, he came in and he was right. He wanted to attack more. He wanted to be a footy side that was open and free and flowing, but he paid lip service to defensive aspects of the game.
I like the fact he's playing on it, trying to win.
Had a great offensive, but you still got to be able to defend. And then you see players like Sam Patrisky-Seaton just allowing players to run past them and walk through, and everybody standing there with their hands in the air. That's a coaching thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen to sides that are really well coached who have a really good defensive structure. You don't get those goals out the back. So
if you have a look at like a Melbourne or Geelong, there's always, you know, Tom Stewart's always back there, or Stephen May. They're structured. Carlton just lose their structure too much. Yeah.
They don't have a great game plan at the moment. When they go four, they're able to kick goals. Yeah. They kicked four in the last quarter through Harry Mackay the week before. Sam Walsh had to do some heroics to get them over the line. So there's a lot of things going right at Carlton, but there's more things going wrong. And you don't like the term a coach killer, but it almost was last week. I don't like that term because I think it's a bit nasty, but it almost was last week that they lost to North Melbourne and they lost in a really bad way. And you'd hate to think that one loss against that side and the way they put themselves out there would cost him the coaching job, but it just might.
Well, they've still got four games to go, so there's a chance that they can turn it around, but that wasn't great on the weekend.
Will Teague be at Carlton next year?
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be pretty tough,
Hey, some years we have the Mark of the Year's win that aren't that great. We just, whatever year, there's not a great amount of speckies.
It's been this 8 or 9 this year.
It's the polar opposite.
Yeah.
We've just had some magnificent marks. Some marks that in the last couple of years, I think there's four that definitely would have won. So I'm going to put this question to you now. Assuming that there's no more, there can't possibly be any more absolute screams this year. Bolton, O'Brien, Heaney or Riewoldt?
Riewoldt for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nath. I think because it's got that point of difference to it, the way that he went back with the flight, but then he got the sit and then turned around. So I'd have Riewoldt from I did the top five. I went Riewoldt from O'Brien, Bolton, Heaney, then Waitman. And it's hard.
Oh, Waitman, of course. Yeah, Waitman.
Yeah. Waitman's was big.
O'Brien's was spectacular.
You know why O'Brien's looked so good? Because he landed flat on his face. Yeah. Sometimes the landing.
But he came in at a rate of knots too.
Yeah, he
came in with some real momentum where I think I gave that a better mark than Shea Bolton's, because Shea Bolton just had the nice up and up and away, or up and a Shea. you get that? You like that?
Yeah, who'd you steal that off?
It's good to see the hangers back, though, isn't it?
Well, who'd have thought that when Shea took that mark, when Bolton took that mark, that was mark of the year, that was done. And then a couple of weeks later, I'm with you, I think Riewoldt, in terms of, it was essentially a reverse hanger.
Yeah,
he's taken a hanger running back with the flight from the front.
We've never actually seen one like that.
No.
So I think it has to be.
I think it too has to be. All right, we're going to a new segment which has become very, very popular. Now, you'd be glad to know
Is it not just the Sunday football show?
No, because Tommy, actually, a shout out to Tommy Medalli, one of our producers here who's been. He's been integral in the resurgence of this show because we aren't hitting our straps. About to have a kid. Remarkable. I can't believe he's going to be a father.
Yeah, well,
so good luck to his wife and the child. But, yeah, he's going to be a father.
And it's amazing because I've never seen a man with a smaller set of calves than Tommy Medalli. You have a look at him and he wears skinny jeans and they look baggy. They look like flares on this guy. His legs, I kid you not, are the size of your fingers. They are that small.
So they're the opposite to your legs.
Yes, they are.
Well, Brandy knows a bit about flares, which we'll touch on shortly.
Oh, yeah, it does. I can't wait for that.
Let's dive into the first one. It's widely reported he's got a year to go. I actually think he's got at least two to go and possible three.
This is Tom Brown on Steel Sidebottom.
Can you let us finish? Because
there's
a third option there.
What's your answer? Tom Brown on steel side bottom.
You just ruined the game. It was Tom Brown on steel side bottom.
You know what?
I didn't know whether we were getting in first or not.
You wait for the whole quote.
I worked with him the other night when he did that, and I was surprised when he said it. So
moving forward, can we have... It's the Sunday footy show of the Friday Huddle, so he's going to get all of them, you'd think.
He tunes out.
All right.
All right. I haven't seen them play that bad in 4 years. That's the worst they've played.
So I think that is about Carlton. And I'm going to go Matthew Lloyd on the Sunday footy show.
Yes, that is about Carlton, and I'm going to go Kane Corns.
You're both wrong. It is Wayne Carey on Richmond.
Mr. Anti-wrinkle injections.
Was that on the... Did he see talking about the Geelong game?
Yeah, must have been.
Well, I reckon I think they played worse earlier in the year, but yeah, fair enough.
It's not like the Duck to get it wrong. He's a modest, unassuming, really classy operator. I love watching him play.
Sam Walsh? Hang on. I do know this one.
Oh.
Modest.
I reckon.
Brian Taylor, and he's talking about... He's talking about... That was...
Spit it out, mate.
It was Brian Taylor. I can't modest, think of the player.
I reckon they were talking about Marcus Bontempelli, and it was Taylor Giray on the Sunday footy show.
No, it was Brian Taylor.
It was definitely Brian Taylor, which well done to Richo. Talking about Bailey Smith.
Right.
I was sitting right next to him when he said it.
So you can't complain about not getting...
Oh, no, I didn't quite hear you there, Ollie. Ollie's telling me the answers here.
He's on the move, this kid. He's going to be a very fine midfielder.
He's on the move, this kid.
He's going to be...
Give us the club.
Carlton.
I reckon that's Paddy Dow, and I reckon Wispy Watson said it.
You going to answer?
Yeah, it is Paddy Dow, and I'll say it's his colleague, Gary Lyon.
Brownie is bang on. Paddy Dow, Tim Watson.
Geez, you're on today.
Well, I did a cross the other day, and they were talking about Paddy Dow, and he said that just before they came to me.
There you go. Jeez, we're getting lucky with these spots. His kicking at the moment is better than anyone's in the competition.
Marcus Bontempelli. And I'll say Lloydy again.
I got no idea.
Daniel Rich, and it was our man... Kane Corns.
Yeah, he's right. He's the best kick, I think, in the comp.
He is the best kick.
Yeah, no, well done. Kane got that right.
I pointed out in my top five.
No one's from the Sunday Footy.
That's good. I like that. We're going to have to do a bit more homework.
That's from Cez there, so she's now in charge of that. All right, let's dive into Richo, because we've been talking about this for a long time.
Well, we can do it now.
We can do it now. So can you do it next Wednesday?
Yes, I can.
You sure?
Lock it in.
Because you bailed out of it before. You bailed out of our golf clubs before.
Listen, unless we have another COVID situation, which forces us into a situation where we can't, we will do this next Wednesday. In fact, I'll put it
right in the diary. Next Wednesday, here's the challenge if you're just listening.
I don't know whether I can get there.
Brownie, why?
My wife's away next week. So.
Well, we'll have the week after then.
No, we can't keep putting off. We're losing momentum.
We'll find someone else to kick the ball.
Cez might have to look after the kids.
All right, yeah.
Cez in the we'll diary next
week. Someone will have to do it. All right, let's do it next Wednesday because we can't lose momentum. So if you are listening, I've challenged Richo. I play fullback in the minor Canterbury Cobras. Yeah, we play Div 3 in the Ammos as a fullback. I'm saying to Richo, 10 balls go in the air. I can spoil at least 2. That's all.
Yeah.
I've got to spoil 2. Richo's got to mark 8 to win. I've got to spoil 2.
8-2.
I think I can manage that.
Around the ground to the Ace of Gemstone. Things starting to wrap up down in Tassie.
Did Rosemary score this week?
There was a couple of big games. Fourth on the back of a bye. They were playing Sprayton, who I think are fourth. Now, look what fourth is doing to another final side. 22-22, 154. The East Ulverston Turners Beach Cellar Dwellers clash would have been an absolute
beauty.
That's
a good game.
8-12-60 to Turners Beach, 11-9-75.
Who's second on the ladder? Is it Sheffield or Wesley Vale?
Wesley Vale and then Sheffield.
Right.
Sheffield, who took on Rosemary Turak. Now, I've been doing some maths. Rosemary Turak have not scored in a single solitary point in 4 games. Not one.
You know,
actually,
what?
No, three games because they played Turner's Beach.
I admire the fact that they're fielding a team every week. They're not scoring, and you haven't got blokes saying, oh, I've had enough and go home.
It's magnificent. It's magnificent. Yeah, if well you done. Live in the area or you're down there, please get down there, buy a couple of stuff. What's, well, they all just drink Bogues down there?
On the West Coast, they would drink Bogues, yes. Bogues.
Go Cascade down, have a couple of Bogues, have some chips and cheer on our boys, Rosebery.
Yes.
Hey, Brownie.
Bogues red, that drink.
Unlike the man across from me, you want to change the game a lot.
No, I don't want to change the game a lot, but I think it's good to have ideas. Now, my man over here would be stuck in the 1950s if we could, but he doesn't like any sort of change, doesn't like any sort of innovation. But I thought, okay, so how can we increase scoring? Everybody's been talking, and you've been talking about it.
No, now, I'm with you here. I'd like scoring.
Free-flowing, open football. And there's got to be a carrot on the end of it for these coaches who, and let's be honest, it is the coaches who close down the game.
It is.
Yep. We changed the rules for the better at the start of the year. The coaches figured it out. And they close the game down again. So, if you put a carrot on it, and this doesn't change the rules, it just changes a mechanism within how we report on the results. So, this is an incentive. It's an incentivized
mechanism.
So, if we had two bonus points for every time a side scored 100 points. So the aim is high scoring, obviously winning, but whether you win, lose or draw, you score 100 points, you get two bonus points to go with your four points.
If you win, you get 6 points. Do you lose?
If you win and get 100 points, you get 6 points.
What if you lose and 100 points?
You get two. Yeah. So it incentivizes high scoring. If sides need their 10th, their 9th, all of a sudden they need to be scoring heavily,
so you're giving 2 points to a losing team.
I could be giving 2 points to a losing team.
Jeez.
When you have a draw, you don't win.
What? Okay, what about this? Two sides over 100 points and they draw.
Well, they get 4 points then. That would be simple. You get 2 points for the draw and 2 points each for the 100.
So you get 4 points each.
That's what I said.
So
I've got a ladder. Put together a ladder, Matthew, and here it is, the 100-plus bonus point ladder. Now, the big takeout here is Brisbane Lions currently on the normal ladder are a game outside the four. You put them back in with their seven scores above 100 along with the Bulldogs, they're the best, and they're now a game inside. Melbourne, who were last week on the normal ladder on top, they're now fourth.
Right.
Sydney are only half a game outside, and GWS, who have been low scoring all year, we're rewarding the Bombers with their game style because they've kicked five games with 100 plus. So is Richmond. So Richmond on the next page are ninth. The Giants dropped down, and as you can see there, when you're not as good as other sides, down the bottom, North, Hawthorn, Collingwood aren't scoring a lot. But most of the action happens around the four and also the bottom half of the eight. So
that is
my suggestion.
I like it.
Okay, you like it. I'm with you. I want to see more.
That's a good ladder. Okay, next.
Now, listen. So, firstly, what I would do first, before I'd try that, I'd wind back all of the ridiculous rules that we've made in the last 10 or 15 years, like the 666, cap the interchange more, see if that tires players out, stretches.
I like the interchange cap.
Okay. Yep. Third man up, allow third man up. You might be able to clear congestion. Get rid of the ruck nomination. Ridiculous. Waste too much time. And the stand rule, it hasn't worked. We haven't got more
scoring. Well, it did work.
It's a little bit of ball movement.
But like everything,
it hasn't. The coaches have adjusted.
They just adjust.
But I'll give you this scenario here, Nathan.
Yep.
You've got a team that plays all its home games at Marvel Stadium, right?
The Western Bulldogs.
Right? They're a quick team. They're going to score 100 points more often playing at Marvel Stadium, right?
Yep.
What about the poor old teams?
But that's the way they play as well, Western Bulldogs.
What about the teams that play, say, a Hobart team came? Imagine if you had 11, 12 games in Hobart in the middle of... You're not going to have...
Well, we don't have a team from Hobart, but let's...
But Melbourne is in the middle of July. Look at the scoring at the MCG.
It would encourage these sides to score heavily.
I'll give you
a
scenario, right? You come down, it's round 23.
Yep.
You've got two teams sitting on 11 wins, right?
Yep.
11 wins, percentage like Richmond and Essendon, very similar at the moment. Essendon are playing at Marvel Stadium, right? It's
beautiful,
the last round
dry
of the year.
Deck.
You need a win to play finals, right? Richmond are playing at the MCG and it has been pouring with rain for 2 days, right?
Stiff.
You're not going to score 100 points.
Well, that's the rules.
Going to put that in the stiff.
But Richmond still win the game. Essendon win the game. Essendon score 100 points.
And they get the bonus point.
The bonus
they're
points.
In.
You've got to have an even playing field.
The playing field isn't even, mate.
Every team played under roofs, I could say, yep, that's great.
There's no even playing field. We just have to put that in the stiff shit pile,
mate. Imagine
that
in the NFL in America. Imagine that. The LA Rams playing at the Coliseum in beautiful weather every week.
We're not in Los Angeles,
mate.
You've
got the poor old Buffalo Bills playing in snow every second game.
That's where they live. That's stiff shit.
But I'm giving you an analogy with the conditions. You can't bring in a rule that just is so advanced.
It's not a rule.
This rule applies in a mechanism. With percentage. The same.
It's an incentivizer.
That same situation exists.
It is logical.
Situation exists today because of percentage, right?
No, that's not correct.
Well, yes,
that's not correct. You can have low scoring games where you get more percent.
No, but say you've got a belt aside by there's a side that needs to win by 150 points at the MCG, and it does because percentage still.
But it's not an even playing field. We play on different size grounds for a start. Geelong have such a better home ground advantage than any other side because they play down at Geelong. Nobody ever goes there from them.
Geelong would be disadvantaged with the 100-point rule at Geelong in the middle of winter.
Well, they might have to change the way they play.
We'll have to agree to it. It's never going to happen.
It should happen.
There's no chance.
I want Brandy to take Hocking's job.
I want more scoring. Don't get me wrong.
100-point bonus letter.
Let's finalise.
Stupid idea.
Mate.
It's not even your idea, right?
It is my
idea.
That's been brought up years ago.
I like it. I'm going to push for it.
That's been brought up years ago. Back when they had horse and cart, Matthew. You love this one.
I love this one. If the people had got what they wanted, Henry Ford would have made them faster horses, but he gave them the automobile, right? It's innovation, Matthew.
There is no way you're ever going to have bonus points for school.
Kodak and Blockbuster.
What about Kodak?
Well, Kodak didn't reinvent
themselves. Oh, they
didn't
go
at the died.
Times, did they?
That's right.
If we wind back all those other rules and we still don't
Matthew
get more scoring.
Blockbuster Richardson.
You know, Kodak did end up reinventing themselves.
I might start calling you Kodak.
I think they make 3D printers.
If we wind back all of those, if we wind back all of those other ridiculous rule changes that have done nothing to increase scoring.
So you want to change six rules?
No, I don't want to change it. I want to go back to the original
rules. But you're changing
rules.
Them.
No, I'm going back to the original rules. I'm winding back rules.
You're changing millions and millions of dollars.
I'm changing ridiculous rules that haven't worked. And then if we just go back to the original game we had, we'd get more scores.
Yeah, the original game, if you do go back and watch the old footy, it sucked.
Mate. Yeah, I'm talking.
If you go back and watch footies in the 80s and 70s, it's
Hummer. In the late 90s, there were 20 to 30 interchanges.
I agree with late
90s. So let's go back to 20 or 30 interchanges and see how we go.
You are stuck in the past.
I am a little bit like Kodak.
I admit that.
I'm actually surprised, given your run of very poor investments, you didn't buy into Kodak shares.
You've gone with Thomas Ford. What's his name? Is it Thomas Ford?
Henry Ford.
Yeah. Thomas Henry Edison.
Ford. Don't go with him while you're ahead, mate.
Don't go with him.
Hey, I want to bring to the end
we
one of the great.
Car.
We've had a lot of segments.
Me lips yet.
We've had a lot of segments that have just tapered off, and none more so like the redhead team of the century.
No, it's back though.
Which we started about 6 months ago. We're gonna finalise them. Okay, so with the Ford line, did you guys know about this?
Yeah,
did
I've got it.
Ford line?
Yeah,
all right, let's. Can we have a look? We're going to have a look at the team as it stands. I hope there's a graphic. Across the back line, Dustin Fletcher, Tim McGrath, Nick Vlosten, Guy McKenna, Justin Lepage, Ben Hart across half back. Across
good
the wings, Keith Gregg, Michael Voss, Jason Ackermanis, the half forward line of Lance Whitnell,
Schnitzel,
Dermot Brereton, and Darren Buick. Now, we need the Ford line, and then I hope that I'm going to, because there was a controversy. Smoking Joe Masiti was not included.
But he hasn't got red hair.
He should have. I have got photo evidence. That is Joe Masiti in AFL Live 2004. Now, what colour is that hair?
I can guarantee you his arms weren't that big either.
On the screen is a picture of Joe Masiti from AFL Live 2004.
They weren't great graphics, were they?
He's got red hair. He should be included.
All right, we'll put him on the bench then. All right, so our full forward line, we're going to go Gary Moorcroft, Mark Masiti. Barry Hall. Now, Baz lost his follicles early, but before he did, he was a redhead, Nate, wasn't he?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
And Jared Roughhead.
He's
in the
lucky
other forward.
Big Rough, definitely. Yeah, Big Rough's going to be
He's not bright red Rough, but he's definitely got red hair.
So there we go. It is finally completed. It should have only taken 3 weeks. It took 6 months.
Still got the rucks, do you?
Oh, yeah, we got the rucks.
Let's
just post it as is. We don't need the rucks. Gary Moorcroft, Barry Hall, and Jared Roughhead. Hey, Richo.
Yeah.
Brownie's been caught a few times doing this.
Plagiarising.
You either take content that you've done on the Friday huddle
and bring it here,
which I'm going to do this Friday.
Or you do stuff here and take it to the Friday huddle.
But I believe that somebody else has been doing the same thing that he has to go at me about.
Not the only culprit.
Matthew.
So let's just have a listen to Richo's.
Do you know what you've done?
I'm not sure, no.
Well, Richo's got another pet project, one that he seems to put a lot more effort into.
No,
let's have a listen to what you said.
Once a week about both.
Shut up, mate. Let's have a listen to what you said on this program.
Now, we had a draw last Saturday night, didn't we? So we have a draw and the old chestnut comes up. We need to get a result. We don't get a result. Simon Goodwin said it. Multiple people said, you suggested penalty shootouts a few weeks ago. And people go to the Euros and say, oh, how exciting was the penalty shootout? Soccer has more draws than any sport. They only go to the shootout in the knockout finals, in the Euros, in the World Cup. The draw's part of the game. Get over it. It's doing my head in. I'll tell you what I'm going to rant about, Tone. There was a draw Saturday night.
Yeah, exciting.
Between the Hawks and the D's.
Exciting.
And the obvious debate starts. I mean, it's the old chestnut. You know, we don't need draws. You know, we need extra time. Or some people are even saying a penalty kickoff. Give me a spell. And you know why they're doing it? You know why they're saying it? It's come off the back of the Euros final between England and Italy. So everyone's got the penalty shootout in mind. But do they realise in soccer they have more draws than anyone?
Verbatim.
Literally word for word. Now, if you're trying to distinguish what happened there, that between those, that was two separate podcasts.
Yeah.
And you have gone word for word.
Can I have a defence?
You've said chestnut in both.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. I've got a defence here, right?
There's no defence.
The Richmond podcast, so my colleague on that show, he brought the topic up.
Brendan Mann?
No, Tony Greenberg. He brought the draw up, so I just added on to the end of it.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
There's no excuse, mate.
You went word for word. You didn't want to just change it up a little bit?
I thought we had different listener bases. Someone's obviously tipped me off.
Well, you reckon people who listen to you on one podcast aren't going to listen to you on this one?
What?
We were inundated.
Yeah, sorry. Inundated. I apologise to you, Nathan.
Apologise to the listeners.
But you understand a little bit. We're battling for content sometimes.
Bag me for doing that if you're doing the same thing.
I apologise.
And apologise to the listeners, please.
I apologise to our listeners.
Talk.
And our
big time talk.
Talking tigers.
And apologise to Tony Greenberg because you're not bringing your A game there like
you
might
be.
No, you're not.
Apologize. I think I did it on the Richmond one first, though.
No.
Oh,
we record that on a Tuesday.
Oh, geez. Just dig up, Richo. Hey, Brownie, you're not the only one that has escaped a bit of dobbing in this week. Again, thanks to – I'm not sure if this one actually came from Rhett Bartlett, but Rhett Bartlett, he deserves an OAM. He's just been magnificent. If you don't follow him, retrospective, he gets all this old Tiger stuff.
Yeah,
and I think he's really starting –
Not just Tiger, but mostly Tiger stuff.
And he's really starting just to dive in on YouTube, which he knows because he knows that we love it. This popped up during the week, Brownie.
Big name in trade week to seal a deal after Richmond landed his signature late today. Craig Hutchison was at Punt Road.
Brown's move to Punt Road was rubber stamped after a meeting between the Bulldogs and Richmond last night. The dual All-Australian arriving at Punt Road to sign the papers this afternoon.
I'm a pretty laid-back sort of guy. But,
look at those sunnies, they were great.
Pressure sort of mounts when you don't know where you're going, but you want to go somewhere and then people are telling you you're not going to go there, but really wrapped.
So, I'm a laid-back kind of guy.
He's a laid-back, just a boy from Bendigo. But can I unpack that from the start, right? So he's walking into – it's a sunny day. So, yeah, I don't mind the sunnies, but they had no protection there. He was squinting. So the first thing is they're purely for show. No sunny. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, so, again, make sure you log on to our Facebook.
What's the next thing that we notice there straight away?
Okay, the double T-shirt.
That was massive
back there.
It was. I agree it was. Like, and so was the undershirt. You'd wear the white undershirt.
The amount of people have texted me during the week to say that I wore a double T-shirt as well back in around those days.
All right. Now let's go the next step, We've got the flares there, the gym flares.
They weren't exactly flares.
They are flares.
I think there was a bit of wind blowing from the back, but remember when Subi first came out and they first came out with baggy jeans at the bottom. Then they came out with the skinny legs.
They are flares, mate. They're popping right out.
Plant would have been happy wearing those.
What Woodstock. The hell?
Okay, and then he's got the thongs on with the jean.
Who hasn't rocked up to this? Their first day at a club like that.
Look, there's the squint. They are offering no UV protection.
How were you going there? When you got out of the car and you saw the media were there, and because you got a strut, were you just going, how good
am I? No, he thought, how good do I look? How amazing am I?
Double T-shirt.
Did you notice the other thing? Brownie had this habit when he walked, he just rolled the shoulder off.
But that wasn't the only thing that caught our eye this week.
What else has he done?
Did you ever do some modelling? Well, I mean, we know you did some modelling, but how about the modelling for a... This is what I find. You've spent the last 20 years on a drug that makes you keep your hair.
Yep.
That's right. You are in a hairdressing with these magazine you'd find at the hairdresser, Matrix.
Matrix Men.
What?
They were a sponsor of the club. I think they were on our shorts.
Looks like he's
Matrix
about
Men.
To, looks so, like you're about to walk out to the middle of the
For those listening,
Steve.
On the screen is a picture
like
of Brownie.
Yacht.
You got the
Brownie on the front
on.
Of a. You know when you go to the hairdresser, you see the magazines that's sponsored by the crap they sell there?
Yep.
Matrix hair product. It's you like you're about to be on a yacht. But I'm going to ask this question.
It was good stuff.
Where the bloody hell are your eyebrows?
I don't know. I have very light eyebrows to start with, but they're not there. They're not there.
Have you waxed your eyebrows?
No, I didn't. But you know, once. Now this might surprise you, but I many years ago I discussed this with Nick Rewalt, and he goes, "Oh, my eyelashes and my eyebrows are really light too." And so me, Nick Rewalt, went on one of those tours to Ireland, right? In between training, we went to a local salon, right? And I had my eyebrows darkened, and he had his eyelashes done when we were in Dublin. Me and Rui.
Oh,
well,
that is
thank
so
God.
Good.
I tell you what, the finasteride's done anything. It's great.
Can, we just say, Rhett, just keep this stuff.
Please don't ever stop, Rhett. Please don't. All right, before we get into what's doing it in Richo, last week we saw that you did a crib style segment on Channel 7. Now, we saw your bathroom. Thankfully, Rhett uploaded the next time. This time we're going through your apartment and we're looking at the living quarters.
Oh, luckily geez. Enough, I've got the garage for myself, but just so, means I don't get any visitors.
Any
like, the first thing when I walked in here, you'll look at one thing straight away, and that is Booney. You can take the boy out of Tassie, mate, but you love he's a real character in the old Booney.
Booney is an absolute legend, and grew up admiring Booney. Obviously, he's like a king down in Tassie.
Yeah.
And a few of my mates bought that for me 21st, and I was wrapped in it. As you can see, I've taken a lot of time to put it up. But,
it's up against the mattress.
We'll get it up eventually.
Is that the mattress for when teammates come over, mate?
Oh, look, you know, any mates want to come around Saturday night, more than welcome to sleep on the mattress.
Now, walking up here, now this has got a bit of a Japanese flavour to it, mate.
No, it doesn't, Jim.
Yeah.
It does not have a Japanese flavour to it.
It's a staircase.
This is very nicely done. Is this all your little
one plant?
My mum came over and she said I needed a bit. Greenery
she'll be,
in the house, all right?
She'll be shattered when she sees I haven't been watering it.
Yeah, John Jarrett, come have a look at this place from Better Homes and Garden.
look at it.
It's seen better days, but no, it's all right though.
One plant.
I better get.
Again, make sure you go to our Instagram or Facebook and just see the actual footage of that. But Richo, you put why, when you've been given one plant, do you think it's going to grow underneath the stairs?
Needed a bit of sun down there.
Was it a real plant or a fake
one? No, it was a real plant.
You hit it literally in the darkest part.
To be honest, if you look up that staircase, the sun did come down.
I can't believe, imagine staying at Richo's house, he's an AFL superstar. It's like, come out and crash at my house, and here's this dirty single mattress. Look at it.
You know who actually stayed on that his first 2 months in Melbourne?
Pettifer,
Cade Pettifer.
Jesus.
No, I admit.
Did the mates from Tassie, Foo and all those guys come
Foo
down
and
stay?
Foo and all the boys stayed there.
Yeah. Ooh, if that matches.
What about my
talk?
Mates? How good are my mates? They bought me that David Boone signed thing for my 21st.
It is nice. Well, it would have been nice if you'd put it up. All right, Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
How good was our gold medal winner, Ariane Titmus, yesterday?
Titmus, just magnificent.
She's going up again today in the 200.
Yeah, about an hour from now.
The whole of Australia was wrapped, but of course we had a few woke people that couldn't enjoy it, and this really did my head in. Her coach, Dean Boxall, who's
It's a funny word, woke, isn't it?
What does it mean?
I'll tell you what it means. This is what woke people do.
Andrew.
So her coach, we all saw the footage, absolutely... absolutely ecstatic that his swimmer that he's put in. So imagine the hours they've put in, early mornings up there in Queensland training. You know, the work they've put in, they had the Olympics delayed last year. And his swimmer wins and beats someone, Katie Ledecky, who hasn't been beaten in a major final, right, over a long period of time. She wins. She wins well. She raced perfectly. He lets off a little bit of emotion. He's absolutely pumped, right? And we all saw it. How good was it?
It was good.
There's been people that have criticised that, saying particularly some of the American female journalists criticised him for it, saying he was taking away from her moment. What an absolute load of bloody nonsense.
I agree, Matthew. Hey. And I can only see when she spoke about him, she glowed when she spoke about him, the family spoke about him. They're in tears about the coach and how good of a guy he was.
And he didn't know he was on camera. Do you think he was caring about a camera then? He was that in the moment. He was that excited.
He's in a stadium as well, which is normally packed with 20,000 people cheering. So he's trying to generate some emotion, some atmosphere.
The first person she would have looked up for when she won would have been him. And when she cried talking about him, just summed it all up afterwards.
The woke brigade.
The woke brigade.
Do you know where I saw Frances Leach? I've got to be careful.
Seriously.
Frances Leach on...
Just be careful.
Frances Leach on LinkedIn put on a... I don't care who criticised that.
Anyone who criticised that has seriously got to lighten up.
Do you know what you need to do? If you're sitting out there listening, and I hope... I hope none of our listeners come from that world.
It's a very small percentage of people.
Don't. Go and find some joy in your life, because you're obviously very miserable. You're very sad. You can't appreciate the nice things in life. So go and do something. Make some changes in your life, because this is no way to live your life. You're a miserable sack of shit.
I reckon most people had the hair standing up on the back of their neck when they saw that.
As they should. All right.
Good one, Matt. Nothing
ajar. Well, I haven't been on the Nuffy Jar for a little while. I've just looked at the run sheet and I understand that I'm on there.
Yeah, we are, Hum.
I don't understand why I'm on here.
Well, you said at the start of the show you've been enjoying the Olympics, and we all are. We're really enjoying the Olympics, but probably putting it onto Twitter, you've gone a step too far here, Hum. Have a look at this.
How much water polo have you watched over the course?
You've watched a lot of water polo over the journey. This is the most embarrassing officiating I've ever seen in a pool. Come on, Hum.
Oh, you haven't watched that much. This is what I'll say, and I reckon I'm bang on here.
What game was it?
Australia versus...
doesn't even know.
Nah, I've watched a lot of water polo.
No, it's that weird country. It starts with M. Though I didn't even know, though. Not Macedonia. Anyway, Montenegro.
Montenegro.
Australia versus Montenegro. And they are very good at it. But I'll say this, and I honestly reckon this is bang on. On the global stage, we get screwed by umpires and officials. We do. It's always going against us. Think of it. We would have won a World Cup in 2006 against Italy. One of the worst penalties ever seen. We could have won.
So you reckon it's a global?
Yeah. And then last night I was watching against Croatia. We've never beaten Croatia again. Every time they went to the VAR, and it's the most shitty VAR ever in the water polo. It kept going against us, even though there was clear evidence it should not have been a goal.
And you know the other one you did, and I don't think we've got this one, but I'll just, because it was late last night. Hummer reckons, he was watching some archery yesterday, he reckons that if someone can give him some secondhand archery gear, that he'll be ready to go by Paris.
No, I did not say that, Richo. Don't twist my words, make me sound like a cock. No, I said...
You'd be no good at archery, mate.
Did you say...
These people train for years and years.
I said if I was right now to dedicate my life to archery...
You could make the Olympics.
I could make France.
I don't reckon you could.
The question was, could I? And I think I could.
No,
if you dedicate your life to one skill. Have you heard the 10,000 hour theory?
You remember the footy show the Thursday night guys did, the little mini Olympics they did last time?
Yep.
When Matthew Lloyd, who's quite a good sportsman, tried the archery. And got absolutely...
Couldn't even
get it off the bow. It just fell down.
But I'm good at archery. I've done archery. We did it at school. I've done archery at
school. You have not.
But I'm saying I could pick up any sport that doesn't require natural athleticism. Like, I'm not saying I can, if I dedicate my life to running, I could win the 100 metres. I'm not saying that.
Could I
make the Olympic side in archery if I dedicate the next 4 years of my life?
No.
I think I could.
No, absolutely not. But I've got a nomination for the Nuffy Jar this week, and he works with both of us, Matthew. Tom Brown works with me on Friday night.
Brandy.
He works with you. Eddie Betts looks injured. He's in a right moon boot and balancing with a left walking stick. Thank you, Inspector Pluso. Come on, Tom.
Even Tommy would have given it. He does look injured with a moon boot on.
He does.
And a walking stick.
Have we got another Tom one there? I think we've got two Toms. We do have two Toms, because then he followed up with this as Ariane's dad should be headed for a guest spot on the coverage anchor his own interview. Now, he probably should read that before you send it out and look at it and go, beheaded's on there.
Beheaded.
Now, Tom, maybe we could just rearrange some words and take out beheaded.
That's funny. You want a fun fact about Ariane's Titmus's dad?
Yep.
He opened the batting, Steve, with David Boone at Launceston Cricket.
Really?
Club. Oh, yeah.
And he actually was a news.
And he was a news presenter in Tassie. Yeah.
He did make it. I don't want to.
That's
talk.
Why he was a polished.
He
performer.
Did make it a bit about him, didn't he?
Oh no, he just was
very proud of his daughter. Huh?
Don't
his daughter.
Become woke, Al.
No, I'm not. I would never ever.
That's
ever.
Exactly what you just did, Al.
All right, we're going to look at the game of the round next.
Just one game.
Yeah, we are, but I actually skipped Rich O'Brien and Hummer. So we're going to do Rich O'Brien and Hummer, then we're doing one game. Right, and I'll tell you why we're doing one game. Because we've been doing three games, and Brownie offers one word. One word on these games.
We haven't been slicing
it. I always said I don't
We're a Sportsbet AFL podcast. We look at the AFL, we look at betting, and you were offering one word. So we're doing one word. But before that, Richo, Brownie and Hummer awards. At the best, the Bont is just pulling away.
He's unbeatable, 15.
That's almost an unassailable lead. Jeremy Cameron on 8. To the worst, St Kilda on 21. West Coast 20. Collingwood 16. Richmond 10. And Kane Corns on 8. Richo, your Richos.
Okay, I'm going to give one vote to Max King. 8 contested marks inside 50. And we're going to see that more often from him. He was a star. They lost the game. If Rowan Marshall wasn't in quarantine, they might have won. Max King won. 2 to Nick Larkey. Real breakout game, 7 goals. He looks a player, doesn't he, mate?
He does.
And I'm giving 3 to Leon Cameron. I know the Giants have been up and down a little bit, but I thought it was a really good coaching performance against Essendon, really shut their midfield down, kept the ball away from Essendon, kept it in a tempo game, which they needed to do. So I thought he was coaching really well on the week.
Definitely won the battle in the box, didn't he? One vote, the same. Max King, I've given one vote to. Got 2 votes to Tim Kelly over at West Coast. His second quarter, might have been his third quarter, he had like 13 disposals. The amount of clearances he had where he
round balls.
Ran out of the middle and was able to pump it inside forward 50. And 3 votes to Larkey, Nick Larkey, who they've been, his nickname's Suv Larkey, obviously. Now, since the weekend, because he kicked 7, they've been calling him Sev Larkey.
The old creative footballers down there.
They've got a bit of time in between sessions, the boys. Okay, the worst, I've actually given one to you, Nato.
Good. 4.
Good.
Just a ridiculous idea, the bonus point.
Oh, so it's
a great idea. Now, but he thinks it's a good idea. Our producer, who never agrees with anything I do, thinks it's a good idea. Nate John thinks it's a good idea.
I can find
all the people out the back here think it's a good idea.
I can find just as many people that think it's a bad idea. I can. I've given you one.
There's none.
I've given 2 to Essendon. They were a chance to play finals, and they just didn't adapt in that game. They didn't do anything different. They allowed GWS to control things, and obviously 3 to Carlton, lose to the 18th team when you're in chance to play for the finals.
I gave one vote to... I guess it's the AFL, it might be the government, I don't know, but masks during the song. I just don't get that. When I see a game and they're sweating on each other, they're spitting, there's spittle coming out of their mouths.
It's just an optics thing, isn't it?
And then they go inside and they put masks on to sing the song. I don't get that.
A few weeks ago, they all circled up at Etihad Stadium. I think it was North Melbourne again, or the Dogs. They all circled up. They're about to start, and then someone yelled out, masks. They all had to run into the locker room and get a mask and come back. It's just silly.
Gave 2 votes to Carlton. They were terrible. They were awful. I don't think he keeps his job. And I did give 3 votes, but I've changed it. I gave 3 votes to the Olympics worker who decided to walk onto the BMX track and get flattened by the BMX.
That happened to
him. Yeah. So he just wandered out and BMX comes over, absolutely cleans him up, takes him
out.
Got to
be better.
Obviously can't win. But I'm going to change it to you because you really pissed me off today.
Like,
seriously. You're carrying on about you got to get into the modern day, Matt. Mate. You're living in the past.
Yeah, Kodak.
Bonus points.
Do you think
your new nickname should be Kodak?
Kodak.
You don't move on.
Do you think the Professional Football Association in England will go back and change the point system in soccer?
We're not talking about the professional football system in England. We're talking about the AFL.
Do you think the NFL are going to change their point system? I mean, they have low scoring games in ordinary conditions.
No. We're not talking about them, though. We're talking about us.
You can't have different playing conditions where you give a bonus for 100
points. We're talking about us.
You can't have it.
You're living in the past. You're still wearing a hat that Nike probably gave you in 2003.
You can't have different points for different playing conditions. Imagine, as I said, you're playing under a roof every game and you're the Buffalo Bills in snow. You're never going to score the points required.
Stop living in the past.
Sometime there was they
set. See, this, Nate, this is where you lose. This is where you lose some of your punch in these debates, right?
Oh,
he always goes personal. So once you go the man and not the logic of the argument, you lose.
My
out.
Logic stands up.
You've gone now. You've gone. What I'm
I like
wearing.
To do logic and man together.
It doesn't. It's not. Somewhere, it loses, you lose your point.
There was a time.
Yes, you do.
There was a time in.
You do.
My point was well made.
There was a time,
and I had a graphic for it, and it was brilliant.
I'll
leave you these words, Richo. There was a time that they sat around a table like this at Kodak and they said, nah, they will always use film.
Yep. And you know what they also said at Kodak? We should get Matthew Richardson to be our brand ambassador.
I don't, when we're sitting in a pub, when we're 80 years of age, right?
Yeah. When the bonus points up to four that, a game.
And we will still be sitting there and it'll still be a bad idea.
It is a good idea.
All right, let's dive into the game of the week.
Photos, though.
I'm just having a look. We actually don't have odds for GWS versus Port Adelaide. So let's do Essendon versus Sydney as the game of the week.
Good throw,
Hum. Good throw. Why don't we have, why haven't we got odds? It's Wednesday.
Righto.
We don't know where the game's being played, in fairness to the people who work with you.
It hasn't been finalised yet.
Stop trying to create this separation between me and the traders.
Big game. Big game.
I think you create that yourself.
I do not.
Essendon, it's on the ground, must win for the Bombers. They're just about gone. They've
Where's it being played?
We don't know. It's in Queensland.
Gabba.
So, I think Sydney win. They're a chance to finish top four. They're playing as well as just about anyone, the Swans. After this week, Essendon play the Dogs next week. So, if they lose this week, it looks about gone for them. So, this is a must win. I don't think they can beat Sydney. I think Sydney are playing too well at the moment. And Essendon is... haven't been playing that well.
The Bombers beat the Kangaroos the week before, but they didn't play that well. They needed some brilliance from Jake Stringer in the last quarter to get them over the line. I thought they were sluggish. And then last week, they jumped out of the blocks. They started well, but their coach, Ben Rutten, refused to tag anybody. So Whitfield just ran around on his own. So if that happens again this week, if they allow Isaac Heaney or a Luke Parker to run around on his own, I find it hard. And do they have a great matchup for Lance Franklin? I'm not sure. And Tom Stewart would probably, not Tom Stewart, James Stewart would probably go to him. But is that the best matchup?
And the other thing, remember when the Swans beat the Dogs a few weeks ago? They just controlled it with uncontested marks. And that's exactly what GWS did to Essendon last week. So Sydney will look at that. They'll use that same game plan. So I think the Swans win, huh?
Do we like that? Just the one game rather than the three?
Well, we also do the AFL previews where we talk a lot about the football, and this is more of an entertainment type show.
We'll keep it to one. All right, let's finish up with some hypotheticals. Kills me to say it, but none of these are mine. One,
they're better,
so they'll be good.
One is from producer Ollie Jones. One is from producer Nath John.
The madman from Manchester.
All right.
Ollie Jones.
The first one. I really like this one.
Have you ever seen a man, and obviously not valid to people who have never seen Ollie, not many people would.
He's been a lot of sports fit videos.
He was actually a really fine-looking young man when he had hair, and then it all fell out and he decided to grow it on his beard. And he was quite... I've seen photos of Ollie when he was really young, and he's a very strikingly
He's got very handsome eyes.
Yeah, he's got very handsome
very
eyes.
Handsome
yeah.
eyes. Mm. Okay, hypotheticals. The PM comes to you and says, Richo, Brownie, you are going to prison tomorrow unless you can win a medal in any Olympic event. Clearly, you're cactus, right? You're no chance, as we spoke about the archery. But what sport would you pick to just
maybe... Can it be a team sport?
It can be a team sport, but you can't be on the bench. So you've got to be... What team sport would you... Or what sport would you pick where you could maybe fluke a bronze medal?
But I was watching the rowing the other day.
Yep.
And I was watching the men's eight. And I reckon, like, they're all quite tall, the rowers, aren't they? They're all, you look at the Awesome Foursome, all of those guys were like 6 foot six, six foot seven. So I'm thinking, I've probably got the height.
Enough juice.
I've got the height to sit there in the boat. So I reckon if I got that number three or number four spot, right, I reckon I could just bluff my way through enough with the other seven guys carrying the boat to perhaps get through.
Well, the thing they have in their favour, Matthew, is coordination, which you struggle with any sport that's not football. You might be the old lay down Matthew.
But, mate,
in the back. I reckon you'd give up.
You would have to leave your oar out of the water. Otherwise, you'd be clinking all that.
Old lay down Matthew.
I reckon I could bluff.
So you reckon they could still win? It's essentially an 8-cylinder car with one cylinder
down. One cylinder down, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, you asked me the question. That's the one I might be able to.
I was watching the softball the other night, and I reckon I'd be good enough either as a fielder.
Is there male softball?
But a fielder, you've got a bat as well, though.
Yeah, but you've got good eye hands.
I can quite easily get my hand to the bat. Is there male softball? No.
I'm not sure.
So you could play baseball.
You could play baseball.
Okay.
When you've been to America, have you ever gone and stood... You know the batting cages
you could hide in the outfield.
Have you ever gone to New York when you go down to Chelsea Pier and they've got the batting cages? Yeah. And you put your money in and it throws the...
Where's that? See, I grew up playing baseball.
Have you done that?
Oh.
It is near on impossible to hit a ball.
Yeah, I reckon I'd be okay.
All right.
And, you wouldn't have to. You could hide in a tee.
Badminton I'd be good at too.
That's a silly one. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They're actually...
You'd be capped.
It's a lot just like tennis.
See, I reckon maybe the BMX, as you spoke about, because that is just like a destruction derby.
Yeah.
Derby. Like, mate, I would just run and just whack the shit out of everyone. Mm. Hope maybe enough fall over and I can limp through.
I reckon the other one for me, the 3-on-3 basketball, I reckon I could just guard someone and bluff my way through.
It's tough.
They would go through you every time.
I'd like, yeah.
Good question.
Anyway.
Mm. I reckon good one, next one. Was that Ollie's?
That was Ollie. Yeah. Brad Scott, this is just for Richo. So you're done for the day now. Brad Scott, he comes to you. He's the new top dog.
Yeah.
He says, Richo, the AFL has got three options here. One, we close forever and it's because of you.
Yeah.
Two, you scrap the draw. Or three, we bring in the bonus points for 100 points.
It's a very good.
The game's over forever. Well, so you can either kill the AFL or you have to. Well, I'm not going to do that because I love the game.
Well, do you, Kodak?
I love the game.
What one are you going to take?
I'd take the draw. Yeah, I'd have the draw.
Wow.
I'm that passionate on the bonus point.
You're going to keep the draw.
Yeah.
And not use the bonus point.
No, you scrap the draw.
I wouldn't get rid of the game, clearly. I would sack the draw. I would allow a shootout or something, but I would never, ever allow a bonus point for 100 points.
Wow. Good one, Kodak.
Yeah, Kodak. All right, that's going to do us. I reckon these two just might be able to have a few stern words outside the studio. Well done on our Victorian listeners for getting through lockdown 5.0. To our Sydney listeners, I don't think there's many of you. If there are, good luck. You've got another tough 4 weeks. Your lockdown's not as hard as ours, though, so it should be a bit easier. But good luck on the punt this week.
Waffling at the end.
Of course it is.
No, their lockdown's nothing like that. They can still go play golf.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they can still they're doing a lot more than our lockdown. So good luck to you in it. Enjoy. Stay safe. Get the vaccine for those that haven't got it. I have got my first of the AstraZeneca, which is good.
I had both Pfizer.
No, how'd you get Pfizer?
Because that's what I qualified for, 40 to 50.
I tried to lie my way into Pfizer twice.
You're under 40, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got AstraZeneca.
Get one anyway. Just get one. It doesn't matter which one you get.
It doesn't surprise me that you got to lie your way into something that you want to get in.
Good luck on the punt. We've got some great horses running around. We've got some great AFL, NRL. We've got it all this weekend. Good luck. Gamble responsibly.